didn't. With that, we're going to continue our series on the 8 forms of capital. We're up to part 6 of 8. Today we're going to talk about what's called living capital. And living capital is something that in the direct sense that the article we're using for this little experiment is talking about, very few business people understand or have any use or interest in, other than people that are, let's say, farmers, ranchers, and things like that, or foresters. People that own timberland might have a little bit of this that they pay attention to. But just about any other business person, include many people that could really benefit from it, ignore, 100% ignore the part of it that is meant literally as from the article, which I'll explain in just a second. And I would say that 99.9% of business people, including the farmers and ranchers, ignore the more figurative, harder to pin down aspects of living capital that we're going to talk about today. I don't want you to do that. I want you cultivating your business for all 8 forms of capital. And again, I keep promising you, but I'm not going to really explain things until episode 9 when I tie it all together, a way to understand the true power of this. Today, I want to talk again about living capital. It comes from the article, and I keep saying this. I want to give credit where credit is due to somebody that might come into this series in the middle. The company that wrote the article originally, as far as I can tell anyway, is called Appleseed Permaculture. They have a blog with this article on it called 8 Forms of Capital. It goes into more than I'm going into because I'm pulling it out and applying these permaculture principles to true business. So you can read it there. You can get a link from the show notes today if you want to, episode 117. And from the article itself, a little excerpt on living capital. A precious metal dealer who attended both financial permaculture courses advises, quote, rather than U.S. dollars, measure your wealth in ounces of gold and silver. Recognizing that precious metals are just another form of financial capital, though, Catherine Austin Fitz recommends that we diversify and, quote, measure your wealth in ounces, acres, and hooves. Living capital is made up of animals, plants, water, and soil of our land, the true basis for life on our planet. Permaculture design teaches us the principles and practices for rapid creation of living capital. Permaculture encourages us to share the abundance of living capital rather than the intangible, quote-unquote, wealth of financial capital. So when I look at that, I get kind of the direct concept that there's wealth in owning a tree. If you own a piece of land and you plant a beautiful tree on it, the value of the land goes up. And it can go up in multiple ways. Over the long term, that tree has value as simply as timber. Short term, we can cut little pieces off that tree that'll grow back. We call that coppicing or pollarding. And those pieces can be used for firewood, but yet the tree continues to grow back. If the tree produces food, then there's an output or a profit, right? An energy surplus of food. And the more things like that we do, the more we increase the value of land because, again, the litmus test, is it capital? Can it be exchanged for other forms of capital? And simply by creating living systems on our land, ponds, trees, fields, bushes, shrubs, things like that, either due to aesthetics or due to direct outputs such as food and fuel and fodder, we can increase the value of a piece of property. And we can create cash flow. A farm is nothing but a system that creates living capital and then for profit exchanges the living capital, let's say grain, for financial capital dollars. So it's pretty easy to understand. Now, the permaculturist says, well, let's not plant plants and trees. Let's plant ecosystems. Let's plant entire self-supporting, self-expanding living ecosystems. Let's put in a system that the animals there are fed by the system. They manure the ground. They provide back to the system. The system continues to grow and expand. The trees grow. We get the trees to a point where we can actually go in after about 25 to 30 years of cultivating a system. If that sounds like a long time, think about a 401k plan. It's not that long, folks. We can go in and start harvesting timber. And we can harvest timber almost every year from a properly designed system and run that forever. We can only take so much per year. We can take a little bit every year. And when the system can actually grow and advance and become stronger and better over the long haul and be completely sustainable if we plant an ecosystem in it. So that's one way to look at this. So from that direct viewpoint, from the purist permaculture viewpoint, What can we see that business owners could be doing like this? Well, one thing they could be doing is creating true security for ownership and employees. I can't tell you how many businesses out there have very large campuses. One I worked as a contractor for, Lockheed Martin in Grand Prairie, Texas, has, God, they've got to have 150 acres or more with multiple buildings and all the space in between. You know what goes in between the buildings? Concrete and grass. Grass that they spend an awful lot of money to cut. Now, as a government contracting agency, this company occasionally has to do things like lay people off and cut salaries. And then they, you know, when I worked out there as a contractor, I'd say the people that were there were pretty happy to work there. And they generally, whenever they got through a tough period, went right back to full strength and reinstated salaries. But there was these ebbs and flows, and any business might have that. Well, what if all of that property out there was planted with trees and bushes and shrubs that produced edible food? And what if the employees were free to take anything that they want? Wouldn't that increase their security? Wouldn't that increase their desire to remain at the company? Wouldn't that make everything they like about their jobs even just a little bit better? And couldn't that then expand the human capital quotation, right? Because now the people are more likely to stay, so that human capital element is expanded upon because you're more stable with your human capital. Couldn't they take all the surplus that they can't possibly use? Because on a place that size with day-to-day things, only so much of it would be taken by the employees. And couldn't they say, you know, we're going to put together a volunteer group that comes in once a month or once every 2 weeks, and all we do is pick up all the stuff that the employees haven't used, put it into boxes and run it over to the local food bank and get a little media coverage and increase the social capital using the living capital that they're just using the existing space to utilize. You got it? Right? So that can be done by small companies and large companies alike. There are warehouses and office spaces all over America with tremendous huge spaces of wasted space that they're paying some guy on a tractor to mow once or twice a week. And they're paying a lot of money for sprinkler systems to make the grass grow that they're going to then cut down and take away. And lots of inputs and poisons and toxins and things like that. So the business gets nothing from that other than their land looks kind of pretty for visitors. And many of these are businesses that no one ever goes to. You know, their warehouse is the only guy that comes there is a truck driver. He doesn't give a shit what it looks like. He drops stuff off or picks stuff up, and that's it. And yet these businesses are spending all this money for the absence of living capital instead of the creation of living capital. So that's one way we could do it. And we can use that to do what I call make use of real property beyond the buildings. One of the most valuable things you can own on planet Earth is Earth itself, real estate. It's what drove so many people to come to America. Folks, people didn't come here because our flag was cool. And they really didn't. That's not what brought them here. They didn't come here because, you know, they heard about, and I'm talking now back in the days of like the mid to late 1800s when people were coming here from all over Europe and the rest of the world. You know, they didn't hear about Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and go, man, I gotta go where those guys set stuff up. No, they came here because a lot of what was done by those people, basically, the big attraction in America, at a time when the rest of the world was still on the vestiges of what they called the feudal system, was you could come here and own property and have rights to that property, and your individual right to property was respected and recognized. That was so that's the wealth of America. It's not home ownership in the suburban, messed up mortgage landscape, but real property ownership. So a business that owns real property should be making use of that real property, whether it's trees for timber, no matter what it is. It ain't grass. And if it is grass, then you better be grazing something on it like sheep or goats or cattle or chickens, because those could also be living capital. And we could literally turn the businesses of America into small farming units that provided food to their employees, both through maybe cafeteria with lunch service and food that they could take home with them, and then surplus food to food banks and feed people. And we don't need to spend any money to do that. That's not already being spent. We take the money that's being spent on fertilizer and gas for lawnmowers, and we just redirect the money that's already being spent to put in productive, self-sustaining systems and done. But that doesn't really help you, right? It really doesn't help you unless you own that size of a business. What we need to take away from that lesson, though, is that these big companies have this, and some of them are putting in community gardens and all. That's a nice step in the right direction. But why limit it to a little garden plot? Why not turn the entire campus into a living food production machine? You know, go to organic fertilizer and use the same irrigation systems and the space that's already there, and you're done, right? So what does that teach us? They're not diversifying the holdings of the business. They have this great huge piece of property that they're leaving stagnant and keeping stale, and they bring gardeners in. You know what gardeners are designed to do? To keep property from evolving, to hold it in place. That's why they cut and trim and prune. Because if they don't, then things will go natural course. Permaculture is about allowing things to take their natural course. We'll get into that here in just a second. But so diversifying our business is something that we can just learn from that. But we also need to learn about the more metaphorical side of this. And this is going to go back and kind of tie in with when we talked about spiritual capital and things like that. Creating goodwill. So that is a form of social capital, and this company that we've talked about could be giving food to food banks and getting goodwill from that, increasing their social capital. But what can you be doing with living capital to increase your goodwill? It might even simply be by supporting other, if you don't have land or space to do this stuff, it might be by supporting other places to do it. But the real lesson here is creating a living business. See, and that's the deeper lesson. If you build your business right, it itself is alive. That's how it ends up with spiritual capital. That's one of the things that we can tell that makes a business alive. But what are the primary aspects of a living system? A living system reproduces, a living system grows, a living system changes, a living system evolves, right? And a living system interacts with other living systems. If it doesn't do those things, it's not really alive. Or it's somehow in a sterile environment that's artificial and self-contained that a human has to purposely isolate. Otherwise, it will do those five things. So a business that's built properly as a living system itself will do those things. It will reproduce. It will spawn other businesses. It will create other business interactions. It will create its own customers. It will create word-of-mouth marketing. Right? It will expand. It will grow. Even if you try to stop it, unless you get really good at stopping your business from growing, if you create a living business, it will grow. It'll interact with other living systems. All of a sudden, other business owners will want to work with you, will want to tie into what you're doing, will want to support what you're doing, will want you to support what they're doing. And you'll choose whether or not there's symbiosis there. When two plants grow next to each other, they can have a variety of effects. The number's actually 9. Can't get into it today. But basically, you can figure it out for yourself if you want to, that one plant can have a negative effect on the other, one plant can have a positive effect on the other, or it can go the other direction. So A can have a negative effect on B, A can have a positive effect on B, or A can have no effect on B. All right? Going back the other way, B can have a positive, B can have a negative, B can have no effect on A. Right? And then they can both have no effect on each other. There's a way to work that out with a little Punnett square looking thing if you want to. But basically the plants decide for themselves if there's symbiosis there. So as a business grows and evolves, the business owners that interact with each other decide whether or not it's there, whether there's a true symbiotic relationship, whether it's a parasitic relationship. Is there any advantage to that interaction? Then the other side is going back to kind of the more materialistic, literal interpretation of living capital is, can you build living capital into your life? Even if your business is virtual, do you own property? You should. As a business owner, you should own property, even if it's not part of your business. You're a person that owns the business, not the business owning you, hopefully. Right? So you should have a symbiotic relationship with your business. That means you have a life outside of it. One way or another, you should be investing in property. And you should be putting living systems into those properties. This is not really a business tactic so much as it is a lifestyle tactic. The reason I try to teach you guys how to build business is so you can have the lifestyle you want. To have lifestyles that you want, you have to have stability in your lifestyle. That's the only way you feel like you have security. When you have security, you make calm, rational decisions instead of fear-based, panic-based decisions. The more you're able to look after yourself, your family, and your community, the more you're able to have stability and make those rational decisions. If you own a piece of property that actually owns you, that you spend tremendous amounts of money in, you know, investing in but get no return on because you're growing grass, then you don't get additional stability in your life. If your property is producing you food and increasing in value based on both the aesthetics and the production of it, then you get the stability. Right? I know it seems like we've really gone into the permaculture world here, but this is the one on living systems, so we're going to. Because that's what it's really about, is those living systems. But don't miss two big lessons. One, making sure you're diversifying the holdings of your business. What does your business own, and are you putting enough diversification there? Are you utilizing all of the potential holdings, right? And all of the potential of the holdings fully, yes or no? And are you creating a living business? If your business is not alive, you have work to do. You have to be Frankenstein, right? Frankenstein was the doctor, not the monster. You have to be Frankenstein, and you have to breathe life into your business so that it will grow, so that it will evolve, so that it will reproduce, so that it will interact with other living businesses. And then, my friends, you've really got something. And with that, this has been another episode of 5 Minutes with Jack.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of 5 Minutes with Jack. To learn more, connect with our community, get free resources to build your business, visit jackspirico.com.